Thank you for purchasing this message by Ed Young. If you'd like more information about Fellowship Church's resources or an Ed Young teaching series, just log on to our website. Now, here's Ed.
Welcome once again to Fellowship. Please be seated. Fellowship is not only something that we are, it's something that we do. I want to ask you a very important question right now. Where were you on 9/11? Where were you on 9/11? I'll tell you where I was. I was here at the church, and my wife called and said, turn the television set on. I watched with several staff members in horror as this attack took place, as the towers came crumbling down. It's a day that I'll never forget, a day our nation will never, ever forget. I'm not an alarmist. I'm not a blind optimist. I am, however, a biblical realist. I've got to ask you, where were you on 9/11? But let me ask you a more important question. Where are you on this 9/11? Where are you? 10 years ago, we had an impromptu worship service. Thousands and thousands of people poured into Fellowship. We knelt. We prayed. And I watched several groups emerge out of the rubble of 9/11. Some who were paralyzed by fear were galvanized by grace. Some hit their knees, surrendered their lives to Christ. They've been walking with Him ever since. Another group were those people who rushed to church, and as quickly as they rushed to church, they rushed out of church once the dust settled. Foxhole faith. Just enough of Jesus to be dangerous. I watched that group. Then I watched another group. Those who attended here, those who asked the question, why, when, where, how? Why did God allow this to happen? Where was God when the towers were struck? How could a good God do such a thing? Caught in the web of why, trapped in the quagmire of questions, they turned and walked out on God and on faith. But in reality, that's impossible because we all live by faith. Three groups, three responses. Some walked on their knees, and they've walked ever since. Others didn't. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that America, 10 years later, is in severe trouble. America is sick. As horrible as the terrorists were and are, I would argue that there is a personal, sinister force that's attacking us not without, but within. This force is taking one bite at a time from our standards, out of our values, our relationships, and our nation. You might be going, well, Ed, come on. Are you telling me you believe in the devil? Are you telling me that you believe in a dark, sinister, evil force that's wreaking havoc on our world today? You seem like an educated guy. I am. Went to college and did 4 years of master's work, done some doctrinal work. I'm an educated guy. And yes, I believe that the greater terrorist, the greater predator, is attacking us from within. Jesus called him out in John chapter 10. He said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Then he said, I've come that you might have life and have it to the fullest. Where are you this 9/11? What's your posture? A decade ago, 9/11 knocked us to our knees. What would have happened, though, if our country had remained in that posture? We were just in that posture for a little while. Congressmen joining hands on the Capitol steps, singing, God bless America. They should have said, America, we should say, it's time for us to bless God. And just because you take a Bible and wrap it up in the flag and say, God bless America, doesn't mean everything's going to be A-okay. What would have happened as we got knocked to our knees if we would have stayed there? Where are you this 9/11? Are you walking on your knees? When we hit our knees, we're simply saying, God, you're God, I'm not. Lord, you're the king of the crisis and the king of my life as well. I don't know about you, but what I do when a crisis situation hits, when the towers fall in my life, I'll say, God, tweak this person, change this event. Don't change me, but change everybody else. When we're on our knees, we're saying, God, you're sovereign. I'm not. God, not only are you the king of the crisis, you be the king of my life. I bow before you. To go up, we've got to get under the authority of God. This is how life works. This is how relationships work. This is how marriage works. This is how our careers work. Walking on our knees. It's not a posture of passivity. It's a posture of power and strength. What's your posture? The book of Proverbs, verse 14. The book of Proverbs, chapter 14, verse 12 says, there is a way that seems right to man that only leads to death. There's an avenue that seems sexy, it seems cool, it seems hip, it seems like the way to go, but it only leads to death. We have all these people in Washington who have more degrees than a thermometer, but they can't tell the temperature of our nation. And the reason is they're not seeking the face of God. There is a way that seems right to man that only leads to destruction. What's right is wrong. What's wrong is right. We honor dishonor and dishonor honor. We value devalue and devalue values. We take the lives of developing babies and we call it choice. We pluck prayer out of public schools. The predator has done that. We call it being fair, pluralistic. We champion homosexual marriage and call it tolerance. We dignify euthanasia and call it compassion. We have this whole anti-authority vibe. Our parents are idiots. Anybody in authority, idiots. And we call it, hey, man, it's my rights. We legalize laziness and call it welfare. Now, don't walk out here and go, Ed doesn't believe in welfare. Oh, no, no. If you can't help yourself, yeah, I understand that. The church should step up and the government can help. Most people, though, can't help themselves. Our nation is drowning in a sea of debt. Trillions upon trillions of dollars these cats are spending, and they call it being fiscally responsible. What are they smoking? America. America. We've got to get back to our knees. We've got to become one nation under God once again. And it's time for those of us who are followers of Christ to stand up, not in a mean-spirited way, not to take the Bible and force it down someone's throat, but it's time for us to stand up and say, okay, here is what God's Word says. And I stand on the Word of God. Let the chips fall where they may. You're going to have people slurping hater hate. You're going to have people that don't dig it. That's okay. It's time for us to stand. We can't really stand, though, until we do what? Until we walk on our knees. A spirit of humility. God, you're God. I'm not. God, you're sovereign. I'm not. God, run my marriage. God, run my friendships. God, run my business. God, run my academic career. God, you're God. I'm not. Because we've all tried to do it our way. And when we do it our way, let's be honest, it doesn't really work. There's a way that seems right to man, but only leads to death and destruction. A couple of weeks ago, I swam with some sharks. I mean, real live sharks, sharks that'll eat you up. If you were here last week, you saw that one shark tried to attack me, actually tried to bite my foot. I had the opportunity to hit the water with a gentleman who's done 22 shark weeks for Discovery Channel. In a row. You know what he told me? He said, Ed, when you hit the ocean floor, stay on your knees. Don't move your arms around. Stay on your knees. Even though the currents carry you here and there, stay on your knees. Stay on your knees. It's a position of power. You're establishing yourself. Stay on your knees. We're being attacked. Yes, I know terrorists will do that. I understand that. As we look at the stage of our world, but I'm saying we're under an attack in a more vicious way from the ultimate predator. What is your posture? Where are you this 9/11? God told Solomon in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Only when we fall on our knees will God meet our needs. We're so worried, though, about email, we've forgotten about an email. We're so worried about some text that we don't live under the text. We're so freaked out about Facebook that we've forgotten to seek the face and the status of who we are before a holy God. I've got to ask you, where are you this 9/11? Walking on your knees? Maybe 1 foot in church, the other foot out of church? Have you turned your back on the Lord and shook your puny fist in his face? The Bible is so authentic. God is so real. He tells us that everybody is going to bow one day. Did you realize that? Some are going, man, I'm not going to bow before Jesus. I don't even believe in it. I'm not going to bow before the Messiah. I'm just not that kind of person. I do my own thing. I got my own agenda. Oh, no, no. I mean, that's cool. You can say that, but you're wrong. You will bow before the Lord one day. And here's the option. We either bow now or bow later. I've been praying, like so many have, that scores of you and all of our environments would bow now. You're hardwired to bow now. You're made to bow now. You're made to say, God, not my will, but your will. God, I'm not going to live my life and you sync up to me. No, Lord, I want to sync up to you. God, it's time for me to admit the obvious and turn from my wicked ways and turn to you. I believe that you shed your blood on the cross for my freedom. And so many of us live in the land of the free and the home of the brave, and we don't remember the blood that's been shed for us all over this planet to secure our freedom. Freedom isn't free. It's not free in America, and it's definitely not free in our connectivity with the Lord Jesus himself. It's not free. It's not free. Have you bowed before Christ? You either bow now or bow later. Well, talk to me about bowing later. You didn't complete that thought. Well, the Bible says in Philippians 2, verses 10 and 11, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let me talk to you about hell. You either say, hell no, or hell yes. We have that option. Theologically speaking, we say hell no, and we hit the knees. One of the reasons I became a Christian is I don't want to go to hell. That'd be a great place to clap. I just don't want to go to hell. People always say, I accepted Jesus, you know, because of he forgives me my sins, he gives me a purpose and power and strength. I believe all that, but one of the reasons is I don't want to go to hell. Some of you are on your way to hell. Whoa, Ed, wait, that's heavy. God hurls people to hell? God slam dunks people to hell? No. We make that choice. It's your choice. We serve a loving God. God doesn't hurl or slam dunk anybody to hell. The Bible says, though, if we don't bow the knee on earth when we have a chance and a choice and an option, the last moment etched into the screens of our consciousness before we are banished to hell is going to be when we bow the knee to Jesus and confess him as Lord. But once we clock out of here, we're not going to have another chance, another option. You can't wheel and deal and strike some kind of a compromise. No. But the last scene that you'll have etched in your mind is when you bowed before Jesus. You bow now or bow later? You say hell yes? Yeah, you'll say hell yes. You determine your destiny. So right now, you can make this choice to give your life to Christ. You can say, hell no. I bow the knee. I give it all to you, Lord. You're God, I'm not. I fall on my knees before you and say, Lord, have your way in my life. Have you made that decision? Have you made that choice? I can't make it for you. It's your deal. I can show you how to do it, but I can't make it for you. One of the things this text says in Philippians 2, it says that at the name of Jesus, we have to confess. One of the struggles of many people who go by the label of Christ followers is they're silent. Oh, I'm just a silent witness. Come back. If you're walking on your knees, then you're speaking it as well. You're speaking it in love. You're telling others what happened to you. That's a witness. We've seen hours and hours of video concerning 9/11. The people who survived are telling their story, what happened to them. That's what we're called to do. You have a story that's unique. So do I. It's our story for his glory. When you're under attack, walk on your knees. God allows it. He doesn't cause it. God allows it to reveal himself to you and to me. Where are you on 9/11? What are you putting your confidence in? What are you putting your faith in? What are you putting your security in? Years ago, when I first began in the ministry, I started out doing a lot of speaking to students in our church. I loved junior high and high school students and went to a lot of camps and did all of that. There was one guy from an Egyptian background that I really connected with. This young guy is extremely intelligent. He loved to fish, and of course, you know, I like to fish. And during 9/11, a decade ago, this guy, who is now a young man, was there. I want you to listen to his words as he talks about what happened.
September 11th, 2001, I was in the operating room at Bellevue Hospital. I had just finished being the chief resident in general surgery, and now I was the junior resident in plastic surgery. I was on the hand service at the time, and I was doing a rather simple procedure when one of the interns walked in the room and told me that a plane had hit the World Trade Center. I frankly didn't believe him. I thought it was just a joke. I thought it was just something that someone was saying. I couldn't imagine that something that could happen. I was told by the head of the operating room to finish the procedure as quickly and as safely as I could, as we did not know what was going to come in the door next. Finished that procedure, and then I went down to the emergency room where everyone else was. While there, the second plane hit. Everyone knew that I rode a motorcycle. This was my younger, crazier days. I rode a motorcycle every day. And the chairman of surgery said, "Sean, you can get down there. No one else can right now, and they need surgeons." So I didn't ask any questions. I hopped on my motorcycle, and I was able to weave through the barricades, brandishing my hospital ID. It was chaos. It was a lot of people running around, frightened. There were people running up and down the streets. The first tower had fallen, but the second tower had not. The air was filled with a dense dust particle that it literally made you feel like ants were crawling on your skin. The chaos was trying to figure out who to treat, how to treat them. We had limited staff, limited supplies, limited everything, limited rooms. We did procedures on patients who had collapsed lungs, patients who had such bad burns in their mouth that they couldn't breathe, where we'd put tracheostomies in, had patients who had crushes of their faces and we had to release the pressure so they wouldn't lose their eyes. It was probably for about an hour and a half. Now that hour and a half might have felt like a day, but for that hour and a half, I was as busy as I've ever been in my life. There were several procedures, emergency procedures that I was able to perform and save some people's lives, and that was obviously a very gratifying situation, watching people that were teetering life and death and helping them to make it through the life. It was an important thing to be able to do, but then it all stopped. We quickly realized that the people that we were seeing were just the perimeter, the edges of the catastrophe. It was a eerie silence. People say that silence is deafening. Silence is truly deafening when you know that there are thousands of people that are dead underneath a pile of rubble. After a day or so, went back up to Bellevue Hospital where I was working, and that's when we saw the people waiting outside the hospital. They all had hope that their loved one was there, and that for some reason we weren't telling anyone that we had survivors in the hospital. It just wasn't true. People would sit outside the hospital with photos of their loved ones, just hold them, blank stares, not say a word, just hold their pictures. Anyone with any medical attire on, they would just show the pictures to. they wanted to believe that their husbands, that their daughters, that their sons, that their children were alive, and they weren't. They all died. It makes you reevaluate what we consider of safe. Safe is not a real word. Safe means absence of risk. It means there's no risk. Put my security in a lot of things that aren't safe. If you're going to trust in something, I think September 11th taught me more than anything else to trust in something that is safe. And that's the love of Jesus Christ. Everything else, it's not guaranteed. That's something that is guaranteed.
Where were you 10 years ago? Where are you this 9/11? Have you placed your trust, your faith in the only thing that's safe and secure, the person of Christ? It's time to walk on our knees. Would you bow your heads with me for a moment? No one moving or stirring in the balcony, on the floor. No one moving or stirring in Miami, Dallas, Fort Worth, Plano. I believe it's time for many people here to bow and say, Jesus Christ, I give my life to you. Well, Ed, how do I do that? You do that simply by saying this prayer. I'll lead you in a prayer right now that I prayed when I made this decision. Love is based on a choice. We have a choice. It's either heaven or hell. It's either a dynamic agenda or destruction. It's our choice. But maybe, just maybe, you've been on a way that seems right, yet God is telling you, He's speaking to you, and He's saying, bow to me. Bow to me. You can do that right now by simply saying this. Just say, God, I've messed up. I've done my own thing, my own way. I've sinned before you. I confess that to you. I turn from my sin, and I turn to you. I believe that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for my sins, to spill his blood 2,000 years ago for all of my iniquities, so I can be secure, safe, and free. And right now, just pray that right now, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my life. I bow before you. You're God, I'm not. You're Lord, I'm not. From this day forward, Lord, I want to walk on my knees, a posture of power, purpose, and potency. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you prayed that prayer with me, would you lift your hand up for a second? Wow. Hands going up everywhere on the floor. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Way in the back, up in the balcony. It's awesome. At our different campuses, Dallas, Fort Worth, Plano, Miami. Lift your hand. Lift your hand. That's amazing. Put your hands down. You just made the most important decision, as our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, that you'll ever make. An epic decision. A life-changing decision. Now let me talk to another group of people. Some here are sort of like I described earlier. You got one foot in church, the other foot out of church. You have just enough of Jesus to sort of be dangerous. You floated away. Now though, you're back, and it's time to reboot, to recommit your life to Christ. to stand and confess him, to stand and to say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I want to recommit my life as I walk on my knees. If that's you, would you lift your hand? And I want to recommit my life. No one looking. All right, all right, all right. Hands going up everywhere. This is a reminder, a God moment at all of our campuses. I'm recommitting. Maybe others here who are still searching, who are still investigating, who are still asking questions. Maybe it's time for you to move from the why to the what. Maybe it's time to move from the why me to the what now. You say what now? I'm telling you, God will speak to you in a powerful way. Maybe you're not there yet to make this commitment. You keep showing up. You keep seeking. And I promise you, you'll bow the knee as well. God, we thank you and ask all these things in Christ's name.
Thank you for purchasing this message by Ed Young. If you'd like more information about Fellowship Church's resources or an Ed Young teaching series, just log on to our website,